Hey guys, good news. The Core show went up. The show called Core. Heroes of the Storm, all day, every day. Well, not every day, but once a week. And the first episode's up now. Go to frogpants.com/core. Subscribe now to all the ways you always get your podcast for free. And then tune in later this week for a second episode. Thanks again for your support. And we'll see you guys in the Nexus. This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for September 30th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Come with me, won't you? Okay, hey, what's up? What's up? What's going on? What's up with you? What's up? What's going on? What's that over there? What do you got? What's that? Welcome to the Boop Show, and it's what I like to call a show. It's a show. Don't worry, I'm here. It's a little weird though. It's on a Wednesday. My apologies for making it a weird day. And it's good to get it done today because I feel a cold coming on, and it's one of those fall colds that has the power to take me down if I let it. So I thought, you know what? Maybe pound one of these out before things go south. My voice gets all janky and my throat hurts, right? I don't get colds very often, but when I do, rough business for everyone involved. I've been playing a lot of Heroes and a lot of Diablo lately. Finding that between this book and a million other projects and this show and the launch of Core and my other shows, I don't have a lot of time for big, complicated, story-driven business, which would explain why I am behind on everything that has like a big long single player component. Witcher 3, Batman, Metal Gear Solid 5, to make a short list. There's more. It's frustrating. Oh, and I've been playing Destiny as well. So you guys were right. Look, it's humble time. All right. Everyone pull up a chair, pull up a log here to the fire, the Boop fire, and let me just make an apology officially, that you guys were right, I was wrong. This 2.0 treatment of that game is way better than it used to be. It is not nearly the grind it used to be. I feel like I'm getting something for everything I do. Something about Nolan North's performance as the little ghost character is a lot better than what it was before. For whatever reason, it's drawing me in. And this is before me even installing the expansion. This is just the update that kind of tweaked the rest of the game. And it very much does feel like Loot 2.0 for Diablo. This is kind of what this is for Destiny. Just fixes so many issues. And I'm surprised, I guess. Surprised how much I'm enjoying it. So I'm going to keep at it. Keep playing it. Keep having fun with it. And I want to give a big shout out and thanks to William Nash. He was kind enough to feel my pain and sent me today I got a code from him for The Taken King, which I promptly installed. What I thought would happen is a big 18 gig or so add-on would come down, but nope, apparently you have the whole game. It just unlocks it. So all I had was the previous, core game I bought forever ago. And then if you buy that $60 thing, it just says, oh, game's unlocked, have fun. Which is slightly frustrating. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, not that I want to fill my hard drive up more, but it's just, I don't know, it's just, it was there. It was just there. I always had it. I never didn't have it. And it's fine. But that was a very generous thing to do, William Nash, and I'm gonna play the poopy out of it. And thank you, I'm grateful. It's actually nice to sit down with a console game. I have not played a good console game in a while. So that feels good. Also, while I'm giving out thanks, and I haven't touched it yet, it's installed, but I plan on playing it this weekend, PC version of Mad Max, which I definitely want to play. I mean, it came out the same time as Metal Gear, and I had to make a choice, right? So I got Metal Gear. And Free Rangers, another listener of the show, sent me a code for that. So generosity runneth over this week. You guys are way too nice, and I promise to play these games. If you want to see me play a game to completion, That's how I usually will do it, because somebody was kind enough to send a code or something, and then I'll play it till I beat it. So anyway, excited to crack that open. I'm going to try that this weekend. So we'll give Mad Max a spin and see what we like. All right. Destiny and Mad Max. And lots of heroes in Diablo. I'm so predictable, I feel like, sometimes. Let's take a look at the news for the week. PlayStation Plus free games in October have been announced. That's exciting. October 2015, if you have a PlayStation 4. Why, if you're in the US and the UK... Well, here's the UK and the US stuff. Because the North American stuff hasn't been completely confirmed outside of two games. So the rest of this is all European stuff, but I still think it's exciting. So Broken Age, PS4 and Vita. Super Meat Boy, PS4 and Vita. Hey, I may dust my Vita off for Super Meat Boy. That should be great with those sticks. Unmechanical Extended, PS4 and PS3. I think that is just Europe. Kickbeat, PS4 and PS3. Kung Fu Rabbit, PS4, PS3. And finally, Chariot. So in North America, they've only confirmed Meat Boy, Super Meat Boy, and Broken Age for subscribers, and no further titles. So that will become apparent as time goes on, I suppose. If you are the kind of person that waits around for that stuff like I do, then you should be excited. Let's talk about your last chance to get Xbox games with gold titles. The way they stagger their dates are a little bit weird on the Xbox, but you can get in now. So as of today, which is September 30th, last day of the month, right? And that means it's the last day that you can claim the free titles. Now, because Microsoft staggers these release dates, right? They're freebies. Only one of the two games with gold is leaving today, and that's The Dear God. So tomorrow, that returns to its regular price, whatever that was. I think it's 15. I like that game. It's cool. Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, meanwhile, is still there, will be there till the 15th, and will still be free, so worry not. And that's, you need to pick that up, too. Gran Turismo 6 gets free track editors. Guess how long after the release of that game? Let me check my watch. 2 freaking years. Jeez Louise. But they are making good on a promise. At launch back in December of 2013, oh, those heady days, PD, the developer, said that they were going to make this course editor thing. And time went on and nothing happened and nobody knew what was going on. At the time, it was called the GT6 Track Path Editor. It is still called that. And now you can build your own track after choosing from 4 different themes. So have you been sitting around waiting for that there? Is that a thing you were worried about? I had kind of forgotten that game happened, because isn't there another one on the way or something? I don't know. I can't tell what Sony's doing with Gran Turismo. I feel like Forza 3 or the Forza series came and just sort of pooped on them and took their thunder. And good for them, because, you know, you can't just sit around, Sony, and make your game every 10 years and hope you keep up. You got to be a little more, you got to be quicker, you got to be a little more fluid in the driving business. How is 6? People playing Forza 6? I've not heard how that is. Is it 5? 5 or 6? What are they on now? Anyway, so basically there are as many Forza games in the same amount of time that we've had one Gran Turismo game. I think that's probably a sign that Sony needs to buck up and get going there with their stuff. If they want to have that, you know, simulation crowd get happy again. And with their lead in the console market now, they could do real well with that, right? I guess it would have to review well. But anyway, come on, Sony, what are you doing? Disc-based games will never go away, says GameStop executive. Chief executive, in fact, Paul Raines. Oh, yeah, we've heard from him before. Anyway, he believes, and has said so, that he does not think disc-based games are going to go anywhere, and they're going to exist alongside digital content. He refers to it as a complementary business model. I have news for GameStop executive Paul Raines. He is smoking the crack. A special brand of crack. Listen, there's no way. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. I know that. The writing's on the wall, dude. I can't tell you the last disc I purchased. Ages ago. Everything I buy on console and PC now, where my two main platforms for gaming, it's all digital now. All of it for me. Why would you fill up your shelf with a bunch of discs again? I understand collector's editions with the extra stuff, and people want to do that, and I get it. I guess I buy the WoW stuff that way. So I do buy discs, but I don't install from them. I just have the collector's thing, you know, and it has to be a game you're really into. So I get that. It's like vinyl records, right? You're going to buy that because it's more of a piece of art than the big disc you're going to play all the time. Outside of that, though, not a chance. Their huge secondary hand-me-down business of used games, that is not going to last forever. I hate to tell him. It just won't. So even if he's right that it will be a complementary thing to digital delivery, there's going to be way less of it, so you're not going to have every game possible coming out on disc. Those days are gone, man. I don't care what you say. So that's wishful thinking, and I think, you know, good on them for figuring out ways to make GameStop profitable during all of this weird transition, because they've done a pretty good job of it. Like it or not, they've kind of done a pretty good job. But according to this interview he did with Fortune, they also want to, you know, they want a piece of this digital pie. But he said this specifically. Let me give you this quote. Disc-based games will be around forever, he says. See, dude, really? Forever, dude? I mean, in the volume you need for all your stores to sell them to make enough money to pay your employees and keep your doors open? I hope you figure out a way to do it, because I don't wish them to go away any more than I do anyone else. I just think it's hard. Anyway, the market has seen physical music sales down 50% from its peak and physical movie sales down 60% from its peak. But even in the doomsday scenario, disc-based games will be around for a long time. So if you're telling me there's a 50% drop in disc-based music and 60% in film in favor of digital across those two things, you're telling me you guys can take a 50 to 60% hit? And by the way, we're not done there. That 50 to 60 is going to keep growing. And I'll bet it's more than that now. I'll bet we're 70, 80 for those two categories. I don't know. What else is he going to say? He's not going to get up and go, yeah, digital is the way to go. And we feel, I don't know why he's from, he's an old farmer from Vermont suddenly. I don't know why I did that. Anyway, good luck to him and all his people. New Mario Tennis. Coming out for the Wii U, and it got a release date. You know, that is really all they do there. They just make Mario. It's a Mario game factory. And they put them out on the Wii U. Their best games are all Mario-related titles. Or Zelda/Link titles, you know? Not that I don't love that. I do love that, but it's interesting. Interesting. Anyway, Mario's 10th. Sorry, it's not 10. Tennis Ultra Smash, it's called. And it will be $50 instead of $60, so that's good. You're going to get it on November 20th, 2015. It's going to support 1v1 or 2v2 matches against friends or the computer. Now, that's fine and all. I'm trying to remember, did I like the old tennis game? I think, you know what? I think golf was my speed. I don't think I actually played that last tennis game. Do you guys have a fondness for that? Do you want to play it again? Because on November 20th, you can. The Stanley Parable creator has announced a new game. Do you guys remember that game? Hello, walk through this door and click on the thing. That was that game. Well, Davey Redden, I'm not sure how you say his name. He created that game. He has now announced a new first-person narrative game, and he's calling it The Beginner's Guide. Says there are no traditional mechanics, quote, no goals, no objectives. Instead, it tells the story of a person struggling to deal with something they do not understand. Sounds like the Stanley Parable to me. What do you guys think? Anyway, it comes out tomorrow. Check that out. That was fast. PC and Mac, $10. And, I guess the first week you can get it for 20% off of that. So I think that's a no-brainer. Probably pick it up. I really like that first game, which started out as a mod, if you may remember, for Half-Life 2. Yeah, I think it was a Half-Life 2 mod. And then re-released in 2013 as a standalone game. Everyone freaking loved that thing and has been, oh gosh, I don't know. It's awesome. I didn't know this. You can play Dota 2 with that announcer in it. So they have those announcer packs for Dota. And there's some really good ones out there, and that's one of them. So go grab a hold of it and never let go. WildStar has gone free. Gets the biggest update it ever got. That happened today, or was that yesterday? Yesterday, 29th. And according to Carbine Studios, after this little free-to-play relaunch of the game, they're claiming it is not only their biggest update, they're also calling it WildStar : Reloaded. And says that even though this thing is now free to play, they still have huge plans to support it and build new content. And I'm genuinely excited about it because I liked WildStar a lot. Not enough to pay another $15 a month for it on top of what I already pay for WoW, but enough to want to play it again. So I am definitely going to make that a secondary little MMO to have on my hard drive. Probably tonight, actually. I'll put that in. Anyway, good stuff. WildStar, good job, guys. You've done good. You did done good. FarmVille creator has left the company. He's out. No more Zanga for him. They lost one of the most veteran, and you might call him most influential people, Mark Skaggs. Do you guys remember? Okay, some of you may be old enough to remember this. I don't know. But when I was a kid, there was a store that was a lot like Kmart and Walmart and that kind of thing. It was called Skaggs. Did y'all have Skaggs where you lived? I used to love that place. They had all kinds of candy for cheap, is my recollection. Oh, and I played, they used to have a Battle Zone, a Missile Command, and a Centipede all lined up in the same little place over there, and you could go just shove quarters into that all day. It was great. It's fantastic. Anyway, that's not the point of this story. Mark Skaggs, who created the FarmVille franchise. That's who we're talking about. FarmVille franchise. I can't talk tonight. There's that cough coming. Been there since the startup days. He has now left the San Francisco-based studio. And up till this point, he had been recently, I guess, serving as SVP of games, I guess senior VP. And kind of oversaw a lot of the company's titles. Zynga CEO Mark Pincus said this: "We are appreciative and thankful for the player-focused passion and creativity Mark has infused in Zynga teams and projects over the years." And that's it. Usually when it's that innocuous of a statement, that means things didn't go well. Perhaps Zynga had grown to a place he wasn't happy with and left on not great terms, yet they colored it with some sweet PR. That is how it's done. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. There's a huge day one patch for that. That was yesterday. Got released yesterday. Did it not? I believe it did. And the reviews are terrible. I'm so sad. I love Tony Hawk back in the day. You know what? Let's check. Let's look at the latest here. We go to games there. Okay, great. NBA Live doing bad. I don't care about that. That's not what I'm looking for there. I'm looking for, let's see what we got here. PlayStation 4. How about that? I should have a listing for it. Okay, here we go. You got your it's not there. There's no reviews. Great. That's what you want. Maybe Scott could search for it. Tony Hawk. Yeah, here we go. All right, we have no reviews. Apparently, there is still no reviews. Oh, there's some reviews. There's two. Here we go. 40% on Hardcore Gamer. They say, a mess. While the mechanics are slightly unpolished, they still have a familiar feel to what we've come to expect, which can result in some enjoyable antics. Unfortunately, they are contained in a constrained formula where the player must navigate menu after menu to get into repetitive and uninteresting missions. Cheat Code Central says, avoid this one like the Black Plague. User review, It's a Johnson says, well, it's out, and I'm a massive fan of the Tony Hawk games. They rank up there with Metroid and Phantasy Star to me as the most beloved games of all time. Then it goes for 9 miles, and I'm not reading all of that. He only gave it a 2 out of 10. So anyway. Sad news, but also just if you got it, be prepared to download the biggest patch in the history of patches. I warned you. Don't say I didn't tell you. Rise of the Tomb Raider has a 1 terabyte bundle to be in for the Xbox One. That's cool. 1 terabyte bundle with Rise of the Tomb Raider. That's all very exciting. What's that? What's the date on that? November 3rd. I'm jealous of my Xbox friends. I don't know. Did I like Tomb Raider that much? Do I need another single player game I'm never going to finish? And do I need to buy a console just to do that? No, I don't. I have to think about it. Anyway, comes with a bunch of exclusive stuff. The Tactical Survival Kit DLC pack that has a new outfit, some upgrade abilities, a skin for your weapon, a some other skin stuff, I guess, for Laura Croft. And it's going to sell for $400 on the 4th, or 3rd, rather, of November. And, yeah, there you go. It'll work a lot like that Halo bundle. You guys know that one, right? That's coming. So, same deal. Terabyte, big game. Fun times. Never say never, says Sony executive about a new Wipeout game. Now, let me just lay this out. Let me paint a visual image, a mental picture for you, okay? One of my favorite game series of all time, racing or otherwise, is the Wipeout series from Sony. The PlayStation 1 version of that original Wipeout game got more play than maybe anything I ever put in that machine. And I don't know what it was, but there was a Zen-like quality to it. It really revved me up on the kind of music that was going to now be very dominant. If freaking Deadmau5 was working back then, he'd have had music in that game. It was so good. And I love the feel of it, the look of it. 2 was an amazing game. What an incredible sequel that was. I played them all. I owned them all. I've had every handheld version, console version, whatever. I loved the one that was on PS3. Ran at 1080p, 60 frames per second. Beautiful game. Was it XL? Wipeout XL and then Wipeout Fury. And I would love to play another one. Charge me $20. Make it a download. You got yourselves a deal. And Shuya Yoshida, president of Sony Worldwide Studios, said that it is possible. It may happen. He was at a Q&A during the EGX in London. Terpster was at that. Anyway, he was asked whether the series was ever going to come back. Originally, it was Studio Liverpool who made that. Remember, they soaked him up? Right? Oh, no. Studio Liverpool took it over. It was originally... Oh, what were their names? It's going to bug me now. Psychosis, Psygnosis. Psygnosis. Then they got sucked into Sony, and then Sony did Liverpool Studios, and then they quit doing it. And then he replied, quote, never say never. So I'm officially never saying never. I didn't talk a lot about it, but that Mario Maker sure selling a good. Was it 2 million copies so far? Something like that. Pretty good. Still haven't picked that up. That is a game I want to play before the end of the year. There's too much going on right now. We got emails. We got calls. That's what this part of the show's for. 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Leave a voicemail there. Short and interesting. Always gets played. Or boopshow@gmail.com. Your attachments are welcome and written emails. Here's a written one from Jared who says, The Witcher 3 the other day, sorry, was the first game I can remember in a long time that made me feel bad and I have a sinking feeling in my stomach. Oh my. Early in the game, while you're on the Griffin main quest to kill the Griffin, I inquisited, that's a strange word to use, on Miss Lav's past. Miss Lav's past. I don't think he's spelling this right. Anyway, her story... about his relationship with Florian emotionally sank me as a young person on the LGBT scale with a younger 15-year-old brother, whom is gay. The story of Ms. Lav's judgment for his relationship and other male and Florian's suicide makes me think things have a ways to go, even from the year 1245. And I hope all young people whom are not normal to some of society are able to live happily and safely. Jared. Interesting, right? We now live in an era where games can spark these kinds of discussions, emotions, thoughts, feelings, striking a chord with a demographic or two. We don't get that very often in older games. Nobody sat around playing Space Invaders and go, oh, you know, this really got to me, this part where it came down one level and moved faster the other way, and then I shot up through the base defense thing. Well, those were the days. Or that time I shot a bunch of mushrooms and the centipede just kept coming. Oh, man, woe is us. Oh, the humanity, right? We didn't do that then. And there are plenty of games we still don't do that with. But we have so many more opportunities. Like, I always think of Thomas Was Alone. What an amazing, emotionally charged narrative that game was for a bunch of blocks. What a game that was. If you never played Thomas Was Alone, get off your butt and pay for the cheap version that's on a million services and just play it. What a fantastic freaking game. I don't know that a game made me feel more than that one did. Two Brothers also did that. Sometimes things strike a chord, man. I remember my kids were little, and I can't remember what the game was, but I used to play something that just freaked me out because babies were in danger. So it really hit home. So you're not, you know, don't feel weird. That's how it's supposed to be. This is an emotional medium, a creative medium where, you know, like movies and TV and film and that sort of stuff, you're supposed to be able to tap into that stuff. Stephanie Bauer wrote in. One Steph is what she usually goes by. She says, "Hi, Scott. I'm a 33-year-old mother of three, four in October. And I, oh, that's coming up. And I listen to all of your shows, including Boop, while I am doing chores around the house, playing WoW, while my husband plays Witcher 3 and run errands with my toddler. I have you plugged into my ears via Bluetooth dongle through my Nano. I am positive I am not the only one. Boop." Well, thank you, Stephanie. It's always nice to hear from the lady folk in the crowd. Just so I know I'm not talking to a bunch of stinky dudes all day, man. Gross. Got a couple of phone calls. How about this one?
Hey, Scott. This is Chris calling from Philadelphia, calling reference to the Boop Show. You were talking about dedicated servers, and I am not understanding what that means and how it impacts a game compared to a game that does not have a dedicated server. Please help me understand it, and love your show.
Simple as this. Great, great question. I'm glad you asked it. If you're doing non-dedicated servers, the way it works is one guy starts a game. And let's say that's you. Okay, and let's say it's in a shooter. And a bunch of us connect to your game to play you. Now, you have an advantage because you have no latency. Because you're the server. You're the host. So as the host, when you shoot a dude, it's all in real time. And they're dying much easier and there's no lag and there's no latency at all. For the rest of us, depending on their connections and, you know, state of the network and all that other stuff, we have some latency, especially, you know, we just definitely have some more than you do. And because of that, you have an unfair advantage. And nobody likes that. That's a frustrating situation. What people do like is dedicated servers. That means there is a server somewhere in a server farm that is sitting there doing nothing but serving up that game, that session of the game that you're playing with its own dedicated hardware and bandwidth. It is the host. It's a robot, and you're not there, and no one's there. Nobody gets to play on that machine. That's in some server rack being cooled down in the basement of some place in Virginia. And then you and I connect to that server, and we're in a big multiplayer game with 32 of us or whatever, and we all have handed to us the exact same scenario, and we all have to deal with whatever latency we bring to the party. Does that make sense? Nobody is the host, therefore they don't have some weird power. Here's another advantage, outside of just tactical and better play and all of that. If you as the host in a peer-to-peer style game, non-dedicated server game, if you drop out, you leave for any reason, your internet goes down or you decide to quit because you're pissed or whatever the reason is, a lot of those games, the way they handle that is everything just kind of goes on pause for a few minutes while it tries to reassign host to somebody else. And it takes forever and it sucks. So yeah, I hope that helps answer your question. Dedicated servers are always a big deal, if possible, if you can get those. Do you agree with me now? Do you?
I'm calling because I was just listening to your latest episode about how you were craving scary games and creepy games. I suggest you definitely look up Until Dawn for the PlayStation 4. I also suggest you play it at night with headphones on in a dark and comfy corner. Maybe Depends will be required after that. Anyway, just wanted to let you know about that piece of awesome that I just found. Boop.
All right. Depends afterwards, huh? What if I'm wearing them now? Oh, heaven forbid. Let's never get to those days. Anyway, I've heard really good things about that game. Here it's nice and scary, and I do have some interest, perhaps, in playing it. Maybe around Halloween I'll crack that open. I don't know. I have to give that some additional thinking time. But, yeah, I've heard good things about it. Who is it? My daughter and her, at the time, boyfriend, I think, played it. Or not boyfriend, they're married. So, yeah, they played it. I think this is the game they played. I can't remember if it was that one or not. Anyway, you don't understand. I mean, I'll do it. Maybe I'll do it. But I'm terrified of everything and scary games. I just don't deal with it very well. And if I do it, I have to have somebody with me. So it sounds so wimpy when I say this, but it's just the truth, man. I got issues. And I'm not ready to admit what a puss I am at this very moment. I guess I kind of did. Anyway, hey, it's time for emails. Or not emails. It's time for us to go. We just did emails. Come on, Scott. Get it together, buddy. Frogpants.com/boop. Boopshow@gmail.com, 801-471-0462. We're on Twitter at Boopshow. I'm at Scott Johnson. You can find that nifty new show on Heroes of the Storm at frogpants.com/core, C-O-R-E. Myself, Bo Schwartz, John Jagger talking Heroes of the Storm. We're loving it. First episode's up. It's all free. Go check it out. All things lead there. I guess that's it. Is that it? That's it. Big thanks to, for you guys being here. Seriously, it's been wonderful having you here today, and I'm glad to be back doing a show this week. Only managing about one average per week right now. I know that kind of sucks. I know you want us back to the two. Don't worry, I'll get there. I got some stuff to catch up on. We'll get there, okay? I'm leaving you now with a song in your heart. This is San Holo with a Donkey Kong remix. I found it on YouTube. I think it's rad. I think you'll like it too. It's got just enough retro and new in it to make us all happy and settle down and eat some cranberry sauce together like real friends. All right? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. Look at us. It's going to do it for us. I'll be back next time. Send me your calls. Send me your emails. Hide your wife. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.